Okay, now the tricky part. You've all eaten lunch, and it's the last session. So I will be watching, and I may call you out if you fall asleep. So this last session, how to build a champion. And somebody's like, well, what are we talking about? This whole goal of fundraising and development is so that you multiply yourself. And you are not the only fundraiser for the ministry work that God is doing through you. And so we're all called to build champions within the sphere of our work and what we're doing. And one of the greatest examples for me in this is this picture. So when I think of champions, I think of my daughters, number 9 on the left, and number 20, you can't see her number, in the back. Their good friend Esther up top with the ball, and their friend Jolie. 3 out of the 4 of these girls graduated from high school last year. Esther's playing college ball in Tennessee for a university there. But these girls' average height is 5'7". Homeschool team from Indiana. They went out. From the age of about 11 through graduation, they won the state tournament 3 times. They won the Midwest Regional Tournament. They came in 2nd in the state tournament. Last year, nationally, they placed 8th. They beat the Lubbock team in the semifinals and the Houston team in the semifinals. This is a team of girls, average height 5'7", from a town of 45,000 people in the middle of Indiana. We're not pulling from the metroplex of Lubbock or Houston. We're talking about girls who spent hours beyond hours beyond hours honing their skills. Their skills weren't in her height. You know, Esther's the tallest player at 5'9", and could jump out of the gym. But when that ball was over the net, they were in place. They worked in sync in unity. They helped each other and they pushed each other. They were there for each other. They built each other up. The last 3 years through COVID and all these other seasons, Jolie on the right, number 22, ran what they called the dust club in her barn because we couldn't get into a gym. My daughters ran backyard volleyball for 3 months straight every week in our backyard. They were obsessed with helping each other take the next step and be champions. They succeeded beyond their expectations, but this is the picture that I think of when I think of champions. I think of people that are pulling for each other, going the extra mile, pushing each other, and when one of them falls down, the other one steps in. And when we talk about champions within our ministry and within our donor base, there are those who are natural that will be right there for you. Maybe it's your best friend from high school, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a board member, maybe it's not. You know, but it's hard to build a champion, right? It takes time to build a champion. This didn't happen overnight. They spent 7 years playing together. You know, they worked and worked and worked. And so for you, there's work to be put into building a champion for your ministry. That's what we're called to do. We're called to help engage and push forward those who believe so that they can be empowered to make the difference. So for us, you know, the first step that we need to do is take this step. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little also unrighteous in much. That we have to be faithful in the little that we give or get from donors and continue to multiply that out. And you're faithful with those who start to engage with your work, the very little that they start with. If you're faithful in your donor relations over time, that'll multiply, and that'll be faithful in much. You know, we have to do the hard work at the beginning of relationships and be faithful with the donors that step forward to help us and cultivate those to get to a place where we can build a champion. And for us, what do we want? What do I want for our givers, our donors, our champions? You know, you have to have the end in sight. You have to have what you want for them. So for us right now, it's one of those things that Ben and I are just starting to work through this in our current ministry, because over time, we're still building a lot of those relationships. I've had. But at different stages, at different points in time, you have to envision what you want for them, not what you want for you. You have to envision what you want for those champions. John is a good example in Northern Ohio. I've had a relationship with John for about 9 years. Gone on trips with him to Haiti, been over to his house. I have his garage door code. You know, I know his kids. I know all of these different ins and outs. He's an organic farmer in Northern Ohio. But for me, what do I want for John when it comes to engaging with our ministry? Because understanding who he is and understanding his giving capacity and where he's headed, I will look to the future of where I want to see John and what's going to help him in his relationship with God, but also be a champion for our ministry. And so that's what you always have to keep in mind, is not what do you want for your work, but what do you want for the people that are engaged as donors to help them take the steps to becoming a champion for the work. What path do you have to take to help them get there? Because ultimately you could say, okay, I want this donor to give $1 million, right? I want Robert to give $1 million. Got a 10-year plan, he's gonna give $100,000 a year. You can do that, right, Robert? No, he can't. I know, Robert. But when it comes to champions and when it comes to who they are and what they can do, would you rather have somebody who's a faithful donor every month and giving $200? Or would you rather have a champion that's going to go out and raise and garner $5,000 a month and only give you $100 a month? You know, there's the capacity to give isn't always about what they can give. Their relationships, their sphere of influence, and what they do. And those of you that are around nonprofit work long enough and around parachurch ministry and missions work long enough, you'll hear this phrase, and I even used it last night in our board meeting. You know, there's three things that board members should do. They should give, get, or get off. They should get off the board of directors if they're not going to give or get money. So ultimately, you hope that your board members are your first givers and your first donors to the work. And then you hope that they are the ones who get donations for you, that they're your champions because they're the most engaged, right, in what you're doing. But then helping them get is another step for you in becoming a champion. And so you have to kind of look beyond where you're at and look at, how do I get them from point A, where they just gave a $10 gift last month, to point Z, where they're fully engaged, they own, and not only do they get, or not only do they give, but they get. The champion, not the organization, is called to be the primary means of advancing the cause with champion sphere of influence. It's not about me, right? You just keep telling yourself that. It's not about me. It's about empowering others. those champions are the primary means of advancing what you do. So in that realm, how do we take those steps? The first thing we do is participation. There's kind of an acronym here, and you can write it down in your notebooks, PEO. We're going to go through the PEO process of building champions. It's participation, engagement, and ownership. So participation, starting point. A lot of times it's that first ask to get people praying for your ministry. You know, that gets their hearts started to connect. You know, you can't take people from nothing to a champion without, at least in my mind, without praying. I've repented of this many times because early on in my ministry, I was not who I am now. You all will change over your lifetime. And I walked into a missions team meeting with the church, and we were talking, and I said, we want your church involved. We need your church involved. I want your people to come on a trip. Like, praying is great, but I don't need your prayers. I need your people. Boy.
How'd that go?
Not very well. And I've repented of that statement pretty much every time I talk about prayer and ministry. Without God, you can't do anything. And without God and people praying, you're not going to move anywhere. First thing you need to be is on your own knees. And the next thing you need to do is call everybody else who wants to participate with you to their knees to pray. Pioneer Bible Translators is a great example of this. Greg Pruitt, who's the executive director down in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Bible translators, church planters around the world. Greg was a missionary in West Africa and was called by the board of directors to be the executive director for this multinational, prayer movement, Bible translation movement across the world. And he goes, well, what's going to be my strategy? And he's like, prayer. And prayer is their strategy. If you're looking to go to unreached people groups around the world, and you're looking at a ministry that is diehard focused on prayer, go see my friends at PBT, Pioneer Bible Translators. They need more people. We can finish the task of world evangelism in the next generation. And you can be a part of that. But prayer is the participation point that we should get every champion involved in our ministry. To calling them to prayer. A lot of times it's project-based. Right now we had a new church that stepped on board with our mission Thursday. What day is it? Friday. Or Saturday. I'm in Lubbock. I've forgotten time already. But their whole focus was, their first step on board was a project-based. They gave a one-time gift, very nice one-time gift, toward one of our projects. Now they're looking at regular supporting gifts. And so a lot of times that initial gift will be project-based, that be focused in on, they can see tangible. But also that whole process that we talked about earlier with the follow-up and thanking them, that's where you can start that process. It needs to be bite-sized. You know, when we talk about serving earlier, there's ways to get them serving in more intentional ways. One of the things that we're going to be implementing a little bit more is short-term trips with what we do. That can be helpful. But also participating in different ways of, like what I was speaking of earlier with Make It for Malawi. That's a good engagement part. That's a participation part. This is probably one of our weaker points at NAMI Congo right now, is trying to get that onboarded participation point for people involved in our work, because we're still developing some of it, and it's not natural at this point in time. But you get a chance to start building that relationship and start sharing and start working through this And this is really the entry point. This is the entry point everybody steps through the first time. And, you know, it used to be that you drew a donor pyramid like this, where you get them in here, and they start giving like $10 a month, and then you move them up, and you move them all the way up. You know, that's what they used to teach. But now it's more of a sphere. You know, it's more of a tornado, where they may engage at one point in time and float out, and then you pull them back in and you float them back around, and there's this continual process of engagement with this. It could be the fact that you just get them to follow you on social media for a while, and you figure out who they are. And then, you know, 2 years ago at the ministry, local ministry I was at, we had a donor come completely out of the blue, out of an Instagram post, gave a $7,000 gift because they had been following us for several years and decided that was their opportunity. But the engagement started with social media and that following and getting them engaged. So you have to really look at, I keep pointing it the wrong direction. Did I just die? Nope. But you really have to look at where do you hook them into and start the process. Because you want to move them from participation to engagement. Like, you don't want to just have them following you on social media. You know, that's great. It's nice. It's wonderful. Like, they hit like. Woo-hoo! More likes. You know, it's great for them to make blankets and send them to Haiti. You know, that's nice. But you need to take another step with them. And so that's that engagement part of, you know, cause connection. It's this ongoing praying, serving, equipping, networking. For me, it becomes as simplistic as the engagement side of it. Right now is that in June, we had a couple that had been giving for a while that I said, hey, would you mind opening your home and allowing us to invite others from the Lubbock area to your home for an evening just to hear more about Namikongo from me personally? And they're like, oh yeah, that's a great way to, like, yeah, they're not asking. They're not, you know, they haven't quite got to the ownership level, but they're engaging deeper in what we do. They engage further in what we do. And so it's that engagement point. And that could be a step like, okay, they've been giving a little bit for a while. I just had this situation this last week where we had a donor give and a nice gift. But she was talking about her history and her connection with the work. And I'm like, okay, it's time to ask her to engage. And I said, you know, we're looking at, we need honeybees for our coffee farm and beehives for a coffee farm. $1,500. Would you be willing to ask your church to help with that project? So it's another engagement. I'm not asking her personally. I'm asking her to ask and engaging her in the process of this, hoping that she'll say yes and that we're able to. And sure enough, she came back and she's like, Cameron, I love that idea. And my son's studying agriculture and all this stuff at Texas Tech, and I love the idea of the, you know, he loves bees, and we're going to do this as a family project, and all these different, and it's like, okay, here's another engagement level to be able to take them another step down the line. So looking for those opportunities to increase their work and their networking. One of the things that I did several years ago with a major donor when he was on a trip with me, you know, I knew kind of where he was at, and he wasn't quite at the ownership level yet, and I was trying to engage him further in what was happening, but I also needed his church to be further engaged. We had a big child sponsorship program at the time, and I said, you know, this participation level is, John, could you get us a child sponsorship Sunday at your church? Like, your church runs 4,000 people. Like, it could be a game changer. And sure enough, he was able to walk through like six doors, because it takes that much with an eldership and everything else, right, to get Child Sponsorship Sunday. So there's different ways to engage them. Short-term trips at this point in time, and equipping them in that way, or just asking them to come and volunteer is a good way to engage them at that point in time. If you're working with a local ministry here, whether it's campus ministry or a local nonprofit, is to start engaging people to move from, you know, oh, hey, I've seen you on social media, to, hey, you want to come do a tour and let me tell you more about it, and, you know, see if you want to volunteer in helping in this area. And that's a big ask and a big opportunity. I spent a season working for a homeless youth ministry in Indianapolis, and that was our biggest engagement point. Was, you know, it was nice for them to participate and bring like soap and shampoo and things down, or us to go pick it up when we needed it. But if I could get them to walk through the door, I could get them to at least give us an hour a week. That was a participation level that could really start to transform what we were doing, but also transform their lives. And so it's going to look different for every ministry that you're involved in, in every season of life. I spent 8 years with an international medical ministry. So our engagement point at that point in time, we would gather donations from hospitals and individual donors and all those different things. We get them into the warehouse sorting medical supplies, you know, getting their hands on the medical supplies, because it gave us an opportunity to engage them in what God was doing, but not ask them financially and all those different things at that next level. So this is a more of a physically serving opportunity in a number of ways with potential donors and champions. Because once you go from that to ownership, that's the fun part. This is more challenging too, because now they start to feel ownership. Now you have to manage their expectations as well as their involvement. But it also becomes a place where they're going out and finding donations for you. You know, the couple here that hosted our event last year went out and found a new major donor for us. And so that's been a huge blessing for us as a ministry. And so there's that opportunity to start that replication. And it's really an opportunity for you as a fundraiser to start discipleship with that individual. That it's fun to be able to say, here's some tools, here's some promotional material, here's all the updates, here's what's going on in the ministry. Hey, Robert, can you go speak at this church? Because I can't make it this weekend. Like, they've asked for somebody to come, and you're all set up and ready to go. And they're going, yes, like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'd love to tell people about your work and what you're doing. Yeah, these are the people that you're going to lean into for a long time. You're going to have great relationships. They're going to sharing. It's that transformation. You know, prayer obviously is a big focus of that, but they're the ones that promote it. They're the ones that multiply it. You are only a single individual. You're only as good as the number of relationships you can have. You're going to hit the cap on that. So you have to be able to help people engage and participate and become owners in the work that you're doing. It's their work with God. It's their ownership in that endeavor. So if you can take those steps and engage them to that place, yeah, it's going to take, you're going to end up managing this network of people that are going to be your champions. It should start with your board members. And I would say I have a great group of champions at Namin Congo Mission right now with our board of directors. They're always looking at different resources and different opportunities and different relationships. Robert just retired, so I'm getting ready to start pushing him back out to churches and getting him more involved as our board president in some of these relationships. But it really becomes they need to be able to feel the heart level of the love that you have for the work, and you need to be able to disciple them through the process of making an ask and helping you with all the different aspects of what you do. And that's exciting. That's exciting when you have a champion. So my favorite champion right now is, her name is Kathy. Kathy is a former missionary to Malawi with us. Kathy just retired, but I just met her for the first time last night. But I've seen her in the last year become our number one Facebook fan, our number one promoter of one of our projects. She single-handedly raised about $6,000 for one of our projects, as well as giving herself to the project. And it's fun because now, you know, she's going to be a part of my team, and I get to help push her even further out into what God's doing. But, you know, she had disengaged with the work in Malawi for a long time. She might have seen newsletters and different things like that, but she didn't really feel like she could. She had this participation and this engagement and this ongoing relationship. And even though we hadn't met face to face until last night, I'd been able to cultivate that with her over the last year, and get her to the place where she's now ready to really serve in this capacity for our ministry. And it's so much fun. It's so much fun to see those. And typically your owners end up to be potential, really good potential board members. You know, many board members that I've recruited over the years have gone from participants to engagement to owners. And once they get to owners, they're investing their life, their own funds, and their time and resources. And it's natural to say, come serve with us in this way. And really, your board members should be owners, honestly. And if you don't, you need to heart check that with those who are on your board and maybe start the process over. But it's fun when you get to this level of relationship with owners. I keep pointing the wrong direction, don't I? So this session is fairly short, but this is the last closing thought for you today. Like I said before, your next best gift is where you got your last gift. That's the most important thing you should walk away from today. It's hard doing fundraising and development, but it's such a blessing and such a joy. And it truly is ministry if you approach it from the heart of God and how He has designed people and called people to give and be generous and a part of the kingdom work. And you get to help cultivate that and do that. But don't forget, your next best gift is where you got your last gift. So, questions? Well,
I have a comment. Observation. I liked your suggestion that if you have somebody that's giving something, you can multiply by asking them, what about your church? Or mm-hmm. Do you know somebody else? Recently, a young girl who was raising money for Wycliffe, she was trying to get to where she could write for Wycliffe. She said she went through all of her contacts that she knew and hit a wall. But when she started asking all of the people who had already given, do you know somebody? She finished her budget quickly. And that, mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what you're saying here.
Yep. That's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. You're going to have people that love what God has called you to do. And there are going to be people that don't get it. And you can't be disappointed by that. But you have to draw into those who have fallen in love, have participated and started to engage, and help them engage others. Because like I said, you can't do it on your own. Like, you just can't. Like, I can do as much as I can, but the Lord will provide the increase, but you have to help multiply other people to do that as well. And that's fun. You know, it's fun building relationships. The reason I'm in fundraising and development is because through the beginning of my ministry and time, I found that I love people more than I love anything else. Hands down. And so I love building relationships and seeing others make an impact for the kingdom. You know, that's why I do what I do. And when you find that and you find others that have a passion for what you do, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And for any of you that are considering like a future in fundraising, because there is a future in doing what I do, right? I'm standing here 20 years later talking to you about it. There's a lot of great training. You don't have to go on to get a master's degree. You can. IU actually has a school of philanthropy now. And you can get a master's degree. You can get certificates. There's a lot of different training out there. And I can help guide you towards some of that. But, you know, if you come into any group and say, hey, I'd like to help you fundraise, they're going to say yes. So, but I would love to help mentor you and talk you through, pray you through whatever and any of your ministry stuff over the years, what that looks like. But, well, let me pray for us, and then I'll be around. And
I want to pray for you too.
Dear God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this group, for coming together and for all that you're doing in ministry with these individuals. Just give them an extra special measure of your love and your grace and your focus. And as they consider what they heard today and how to apply it in their own life and ministry, give them clarity and give them a passion for you first and foremost, and for leading donors into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For more content like this, go to lcu.edu.